Welcome everybody to Inspiration in 10 for Parshas Ki Tsetse. Inspiration in 10 is where we share inspirational stories, articles, and Torah thoughts and memory, and Le'ilo Nishmat, my father, Harav Gershom Ben, Harav Ben Zion. Candlelighting time in South Surrey this week is at 7:46. So there's a story of this young psychologist who opened up a new practice, and on the first day he really had a heavy load. One lady came to him feeling that she just can't continue anymore in her marriage and needs a divorce. Another woman came who said she's been suffering from years and years of abuse from when she was a child, and problem after problem after problem, teenage issues, young man with deep issues, all sorts of heavy, heavy issues. By the time the day was over, he was wiped out. He was soaking wet. He didn't know what to do with himself. He went upstairs to a veteran psychologist and he said to him, "Tell me something. How do you do it? How do you manage? How do you listen to everybody's sorrows? How do you take it?" And the psychologist said to him, "Who listens? Today, with all the noise and the gadgets that we have in the palm of our hands, it's hard to hear the messages. There's so much noise, it's hard to focus. I don't know if my daughter is on the phone, but one of them can attest to the fact that she could be speaking to me, and sometimes she'll say to me, 'Ma, are you listening?' And I can say, 'Ma, yes, I'm listening. Are you really listening?' And I say, 'Yeah, I'm listening.' 'Ma, you're not listening with your eyes.' We all want to be listened to with our eyes, with other people's eyes, and with their ears. In some of the portions that we read this summer, including Ve'etchanan, Shoftim last week, Ha'azinu, which is coming up, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, uses the expression Shema Yisrael in his final message to the Jews. Shema Yisrael, listen, listen. What's that expression, Shema? In Yiddish, we have two ways of describing the verb to hear. We can say Tzeherin, which in Hebrew you'd probably say lhazin. That means the noise is actually making its way to my ears. And then you have tsuderherin, to really absorb the message, to internalize what is being said. Are we really hearing? Are we really Shema Yisrael? You know, there's that cute story of the man who lived on a diet of daily donuts from his favorite shop. He would stop every day and have at least one donut. He didn't tell everybody about the few donuts that he had besides. And then one day, finally, when there was nothing in the big and tall shop that he fit into, he said, "You know what? Maybe God's sending me a message. Maybe I should listen. Maybe the message is it's time to stop the diet donut." And so he said, "You know what? I'm going to make an agreement with God. We'll make a plan. If when I drive around and I come to the front of the donut shop, there is a parking space right in front, then I'll know it's okay for me to come in. But if there's no diet, if there's no parking space, I'll know, forget it. God does not want me to have a donut." And so that day he bid farewell to his favorite donut shop. He told the owner, "Most likely you won't see me around too much because I don't think God wants me to have donuts anymore." This was a very, very busy neighborhood. A few days later, he shows up in a donut shop. And the man who was serving at the counter said to him, "Oh, I see you're back today. I guess God wanted you to have donuts." He says, "What happened? Did you find it?" And he had told the man at the counter his plan. So the guy says, "I guess you found the parking space right away." He says, "Well, I circled the block 16 times, and then I found the parking space right in front. So I guess God wanted me to have donuts." So we all have an interesting filtering system. If the message conforms to our wishes, we listen and we take it to heart. But if the message tells us to reevaluate our priorities or to examine our heart, that might interfere with our temporary comforts or agendas. We don't want to hear, and therefore we don't. As Jews who live and die by the sacred Shema Yisrael, the art of listening should be at the core of what we're about. Listening to our friends, to our family, or to anyone who needs a listening ear, listening to what they have to say and also to what they're not saying, which is sometimes even stronger than what they've actually said. Rabbi Bernard Belson was a rabbi in New York, and he had a congregant who was always melancholy, always seemed depressed, always seemed sad. And finally, Rabbi Belson approached this congregant and he says, "Do you mind if I ask, what is it? What's on your heart? Why are you always so sad?" And the man broke down and he said to him, "In 1938, I had family. I had a brother in Europe. He had a wife. He had children. And he wrote to me and he asked me to help him to get out of Europe. I read the letter, but I just didn't have time to deal with it. I had my own business to deal with. I had my family to deal with. And I didn't really take it too seriously. My brother and his wife and his family were all murdered by the Nazis, yimach shemam. I will never have a day of peace for the rest of my life. I heard, but I didn't listen." This month of Elul, as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we listen to the shofar. When Rosh Hashanah comes on the day we coronate God as our King, the blessing, Lishmoa Kol Shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar, it's recited. We thank God for the privilege and the mitzvah of hearing the shofar. Are we really hearing? Do we dare hear? Are we internalizing the messages God sends us on a daily basis through the stories of our lives? Do we hear the wake-up call of the shofar and really prepare ourselves to live our lives as children of the King? Do we listen to others the way we want God to listen to us, with his full attention, with his eyes, with his ears? There's a famous story worth repeating. It took place on Kol Nidre night in Berdichev, where the holy Reb Levi Yitzchak was the Rebbe. Reb Levi Yitzchak came to shul, but he was deeply immersed in thought. And in fact, it seemed like the whole month he had been more serious than usual, more worried. Something was sitting heavily on his heart. The congregation was waiting for the Kol Nidre to begin, and they were wondering and worrying, why is Reb Levi Yitzchak deviating from his usual way of reciting the prayers? Finally, he signaled to the chazan to daven, and the prayers actually took on a more joyous tone than usual. After the prayers, or possibly it was after Yom Kippur, the congregation asked Reb Levi Yitzchak, "What happened? What was so unusual? Why did they have to wait on the night of Yom Kippur?" Reb Levi Yitzchak began to tell them a story of what had occurred. It seemed there had been a very, very strong decree against the Jewish people. And the decree was in heaven. It was written in heaven. This was supposed to happen to the Jews that year. Reb Levi Yitzchak said, "I tried. I prayed. I prayed during Elul. We all prayed together. We prayed the Slichot. We prayed on Rosh Hashanah. We all tried our best. And then there were the 10 days of repentance. But still, I could see that the decree was there in the heavenly courts against us. And I was reluctant to start the Kol Nidre services." In a nearby village, a woman who had waited for a child for many years had finally been blessed with a son a few weeks before Yom Kippur. As Yom Kippur approached, she realized that this would be her first time missing the Kol Nidre and the Yom Kippur services. One couldn't carry a baby to shul on Yom Kippur. She tried to get a babysitter, but all the babysitters were going to shul. So she resigned herself that this would have to be her first Yom Kippur without the shul. As she watched from the window, as all of the community hurried to shul, she felt bad. "How can I miss Kol Nidre? You know what?" she thought to herself. "I only live 2 blocks from the shul. I know the baby's schedule. He was just fed. He fell asleep. And if I run to shul for 30 minutes for the main part of Kol Nidre, he'll be fine and he won't miss me." She quickly got herself dressed, ran to shul just before the Kol Nidre was to begin. And as they prepared to open the ark, the woman was plagued with all sorts of worries and doubts. What if his schedule suddenly changes? What if he wakes up and nobody's there? What if he's still hungry? What if he falls out of the bed? She quickly whispered an apology to God and ran out of the shul and quickly ran home and found the baby sound asleep. She actually couldn't contain herself and lifted the baby up to hug him closely to herself. She turned to God with tears and said, God, may you have as much nachas from your children as I have from my son. May you be devoted to them as much as I am devoted to my son. May you hug them and love them as much as I love my son. Rav Levi Yitzchak turned to the congregation and explained, with the woman's prayers, the evil decree was abolished. My friend, may we merit to internalize the messages of the month of Elul and the coming month of Tishrei with all of our being. May we perfect the art of listening, the Shema Yisrael, listening to those who need us, listening to God's constant messages, and may God hear our verbal and our silent prayers and give us a sweet, happy, healthy year with abundant spiritual and material blessings. And in the words of the mother, may you, God, may you be devoted to us as much as she was to her son. May you love us, may you care for us, and worry about us as much as this woman cared for her son.